My name is Gregory. I am 11 years old. Today is November 22nd. I am speaking with my papa, Woody. And I'm speaking... I already said that. Dang it.
Okay, dang it! Keep going.
Who is my grandfather. We are recording this interview in Georgetown, Texas. So, how did you feel whenever you... What are you doing? How did you feel whenever you joined the military?
Well, I came out of ROTC, which is a Reserve Officer Training Corps, when I was in college at Tarleton State College, now university. And I was very happy to have a job immediately out of college, because I went right to the Army, right after I married your grandmother.
So how did you tell your friends or family that you were going to join the military?
It was easy for me because ROTC was mandatory when I went to college for the first 2 years. So I was immediately got uniforms and started wearing them on campus every day, all day until the afternoon. So I was prepared to go. And besides, my father, who was also a graduate of Tarleton, was also in the ROTC there in 1924, then 25, and 26.
That's pretty cool. So, what countries did you serve in?
Well, I started off in the United States, and the first place I went was Colorado Springs, Colorado, at Fort Carson, Colorado. And we spent 18 months going to school at Fort Carson, and then I went to Vietnam for a year.
So you started in the U.S. and then you went to Vietnam.
That's correct.
So then what countries did you go to?
Well, I only went to one other foreign.
Oh, hang on. Right. She wanted to finish recording. Yeah.
I came back from Vietnam and spent some time in the States, and then I went back to Okinawa in 1973 to 1976, and that was a prefecture of Japan at that time, and they were still just ending what was called a military government, which started in 1945.
So you served in Japan.
That's right. I was in Japan, in Okinawa.
Okinawa, that's pretty cool. Did you have any friends that were also in the military?
My college roommates all went into the Army, and some of them at the same time I did, but some of them a year or two later. But all of my friends that I met in college and undergraduate school all went into the Army for at least 2 years. And all served in Vietnam, too.
They all served in Vietnam?
Yes.
How long did you serve in Vietnam?
I was in Vietnam for 12 months. And I was stationed in a district. A district is a subdivision of a prefecture, which is the same thing as a state in the United States. And I was just in the Mekong Delta. And we lived, and if you were to trace on a map of Vietnam, you would find the Mekong Delta River, or the Mekong River came out of Laos, Cambodia, and into Vietnam, and then it split into two rivers. The Mekong went to the north, and the Basak River was to the south, and I was just on the Basak River.
The Basak River, that's... Was the Basak River nice? Was it nice?
It was interesting. I mean, Vietnam is a primitive place, and they did was rice farming and fish farming. So I served as an advisor to the local Vietnamese military.
So how did you feel whenever you entered the war area for the first time?
Well, I took off from Travis Air Force Base in California, and we flew, not nonstop, but we flew for 12 hours into Okinawa, actually, and then flew into Saigon or Tan Son Nhut Air Base, and I was very nervous, because as we flew into Tan Son Nhut, the airplane we were on had to do some maneuvering to make sure they wouldn't get shot at by the enemy forces. So we did some very unusual thing. But I was very nervous, but when we got closer to the ground, you could see all the bomb pits where all the bombs had fallen along the canal lines.
So what were you feeling whenever you saw those bomb pits?
I don't want to be near one of those.
So besides that whole plane thing, what was the scariest part whenever you were like on the land fighting?
The scariest part was the first operation I went on. I did not know exactly what to expect, and there was only four Americans that were in this advisor group when we went. So I was at the mercy of the Vietnamese, but I had an interpreter that always accompanied wherever I went, and he never left my sight. So he could always, if anything happened, he could take action on me and tell me what to do. But we were very nervous as we were walking through these canal lines. And then we got into some sandpans. Sandpans is a little boat that was carved out of I forget what the kind of wood. But we went into an attack in a sandpan. We had one guy was pushing the sandpan. We had a guy in the front of the sandpan with a rifle, and I was right in the middle with a radio and a radio operator.
So you were in the middle of that boat?
Yeah, it's a small boat. It was a small boat, but I was right in the middle of it. And I had to be still because being bigger than all the Vietnamese, if whatever I did, that boat would do. So if I leaned the wrong way, it'd tip over. Like a canoe.
So, do you remember how many of your friends you fought with?
How many?
Yeah.
We in the advisor team there were about six of us all together, but three or four of us always went on the operation together. I had a medic, a radio operator, and me, all the time, everywhere we went. Okay, and then while I was there, nobody in my team got hurt. That was a good thing.
Good. It's nice not to get hurt in the war.
Yeah, it is. Very good.
So, after the whole war was over, were you already home or were you like still at the war site?
I was lucky. I was in at Fort Benning in school. And I had orders to go back to Vietnam, and then I got a call from the one of the people up in the upstairs offices and asked me to come up. And they said, your orders have been changed, that they have been canceled for Vietnam, but you're going to go to Okinawa instead and work with the 7th PSYOPS group.
Was the war over at that point?
No, the war actually ended about 2 years after I got to Okinawa. But from Okinawa, we were supported the war. But I was on Okinawa when it ended, and we were getting ready to open up some barracks, empty barracks on Okinawa, to let the refugees in if they came. Fortunately, they didn't come to us. They were taken to the Philippines and Guam, other places. But it ended while I was in Fort Benning.
So whenever you are heading home after the war, What was going through your mind? Was it like, I can't believe I survived that? Or was it something else?
You're right. I'm glad I survived that. And a very interesting and funny story coming back from on the airplane. There used to be a guy who flew for World Airways, who was the owner of the Airways. He flew my plane. And we were about halfway across the Pacific Ocean coming home, and I kept hearing, it was in the middle of the night, and I kept hearing them running the engine up, then shutting it down and running the engine up. And that was a four-engine plane. And he came over the radio on the intercom and said, you know, we've lost an engine. And he said, but don't worry, this thing is built to fly with only two, and we got three to go. And then as we got a little closer, right before dawn, as we were getting ready to come up on the American coast, he lost his navigation system. But it was at night. And he said, I'm one of the few people who still fly who you can use a sextant to find a location. And he said, I have a port window above me, and I just just roll it back, and then I can take take aim at stars, and I can tell exactly where we are. So when the sun came up, and we approached the California coast, and I mean, we hit dead on the California coast and went right to Travis Air Base.
So while you were flying, one of the engines broke down.
That's correct.
And then later, you lost navigation system.
That's right.
But the pilot was skilled.
Very skilled, thank goodness.
That was very skilled, yeah. And you got back safely.
That's right, sure did.
Good.
And that was December the 23rd, I believe, of 1969. Okay.
Well, this is a good place to stop. Thank you for sharing that with me.
You're welcome.
How do you stop? Done. There you go.
Okay.
Now, if any time you accidentally hit a button, it's going to say, are you sure you're finished recording? And you can just say no if you meant to keep going, and you can say yes.